Hallelujah. We honor the Lord. We honor him this morning. Hallelujah. The keeper of our life. Hallelujah. The keeper of our life. The healer of our body and soul. The one who takes care of us when it seems like all hope is gone. No wonder the songwriter said, "Where do I go? I go to the rock." What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Have you ever felt like giving up? Oh, I know you, I know everybody's strong in here. You never felt like giving up. It's all right. But go talk to Pookie now. Pookie always thinking about giving up. Amen. Go and tell them that life is in the hands of God. And God is able to preserve it. And he's able to preserve us in it. So whatever we need, he becomes our provider. Is that right? He's our provider. Have you ever noticed that the enemy always questioned the character and the authority of God? But the Lord always make the enemy out of a liar because he always comes through. May not come when you want him, but I declare when he show up, he on time. Do I have a witness? Hallelujah. Let me just say this, then I'm going to get into the message. You'll be out and don't realize you out till a situation arises and you realize you're not reacting the same way. Or put it like this. You used to walk around broke, but the Lord brought you out. You didn't even know you was brought out until you paid all your bills and had money left. Then you look around and say, "Wow, what happened?" The Lord brought you out. He has multiplied your seed sown. And you didn't even know it. That's the way he works. That's the way he works. We honor the Lord this morning, who is the head of our life, and we give honor to all of our elders and ministers, to all of our visitors, to all of our, to all of the saints, to our assistant pastors, Pastor Fly in our absence, to Pastor Hodge. Amen. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Glad to be in the number one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd like to, we're so happy to have Pastor and Pastor Salisbury in our midst. Philip and Adrian, God bless you both. Thank you for coming and being a part of the service. So happy to see Sister Adams. Amen. God is a good God. We used to sing a song years ago. I'm not going to sing it. But we used to sing, "Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I be, Jesus is mine. In the morning, Jesus is mine." Oh, yes. Anybody remember that? Oh, yes, he's mine. Glory to God. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, starting with verses 6. We're going to just read 2 verses, 16 and 17. Chapter 2, 16 and 17. Now, you might say, "Well, this is the same scripture he read the last time." And I would say, you're very observant. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you. Lord, for the opportunity to bring your word to your people on today. We ask, Lord, for your anointing. Lord, we ask, God, for your thoughts and your heart. Lord, that we can give it to your people, that they could praise you and worship you. Lord, that they'll come into a new station in their life, a station of praise and worship, and realize the importance of it, a station of being filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, speaking in other tongues. So a new station, a new mindset. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may touch everyone that might be challenging their bodies this morning. Touch and heal them, Lord, while the word go forth. Increase their faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last time I spoke to you concerning the scripture was in part one, and that was the plight of the sinner. And we understood that the plight of the sinner, and really a challenge to God, that the sinner could not make himself holy because all of his righteousness as filthy rags in the sight of God. So there was nothing that a sinner man could do to make himself righteous. So he was caught in a dilemma. He was required to be like God, but didn't have the capacity to do it. So we talked about how God, how he solved that problem in going back to the tabernacle, and how a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, was given, and how they would hold on to the lamb, and how the lamb would receive their sins, that the person that actually sinned wouldn't be considered the sinner, but the sin would be in the lamb. And that how the lamb then was sacrificed. So we talked about that. So he was dealing with, how do I save mankind? How can I, in all of my majesty, save man? What can I do to help man? Because I love man above all. I gave man something the rest of my creation didn't have. I gave him an inheritance, and I gave him the authority, and he's made in my image and in my likeness. So we find that the sinner was at a dilemma, and God was also at a dilemma as to how and what to do about man. Our second part was, we considered the answer, and the answer is in a five-part, starting with faith. We can't do anything without faith. We talk faith, but when we talk faith, we see our way out. If you can see your way out, then it's not faith. Faith is believing that God is going to bring you out regardless as to what you see. It's important that we understand why God loves faith. When we say he's omnipresent and omnipotent, when we say that he's all of that, then we talk about his character. But when I say he is good to me, when I say he has made a way, then I'm doing something else. It's my personal testimony concerning who he is. He gets joy out of knowing who I think he is and how good I believe that he is. I know for a fact that he's a good, good God. So we have to have faith. We talked on Tuesday night about stick your neck out kind of faith. You got to stick your neck out. You got to believe God even in the chance of failure. When the enemy is telling you that you can never succeed, that would never go that way, you have to believe God. That even though I don't see it, I'm stepping out anyway. Even though I don't feel it. See, faith is like the wind. You cannot capture the wind. You can stand and let it blow on you. You can see its destruction. You can see the trees reacting to it. And you will even react to it, but you cannot put it in a jar and say, this is wind. No more than you can 90-degree weather. I don't know about nobody else, but I could have used some on the other day because it was cold and the wind was blowing. I couldn't see the wind, but I felt the cold. Faith worketh like that. We have to hold on to it. We have to believe it. We have to know it for ourselves. Nobody can teach you faith. It's something that you have to gradually believe God for yourself. The saints can instruct you because we have been through. Sometime you'll hear old mother tell a young mother, baby, it's going to be all right. Just keep on praying. And you know what? And it seemed like it's so minor. What do you mean keep on praying? I've been praying. But sometimes we pray and don't expect results. And then we're shocked when God do it. We say, oh, he actually did it. Well, yeah, you asked him. You asked him in faith, believing, and God did it because he's going to honor his word. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. It's what the word of God says. So we have to have the kind of sticky neck kind of faith. Because of the sticky neck out kind of faith, Noah built an ark at a time when the world did not know rain. Here is this man talking about it's going to rain for 120 years. People didn't know what he was talking about. But he had his neck stuck out. Because of this kind of sticky neck out faith, the Israelites killed a lamb on a certain evening in Egypt because they believed the death angel was coming that night. They heard the word and they believed. Sometimes we hear the word, but we still don't believe it. We say, well, I don't know. No, wrong attitude. If God's word said he will, then he will. Now, he might not come in your time. Because we want everything right now because we're a microwave generation. People don't even really know how to cook. Somebody right now planning, as soon as he gets through, we're going to go out to dinner. I don't hear nobody in the spirit. I don't hear nobody saying, I'm going to the kitchen. Now, this is Sunday. We're going out to eat. No, we're in the microwave generation. We have instant everything. Anybody remember where you had to cook grits? Now, you know what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Here's where I'm guilty at. I just started fixing instant oatmeal within the last month. I had never, ever taken oatmeal out of a package. I come to find out that in the package they have your water line. I didn't know that. They tell you how much water to put in there. All you need is a bowl. Put it in the microwave for a minute and a half. See, I got it down now. I also found out that it worked better in a bowl than to do a cup. When I put it in the cup, it boiled over. I found that out. Microwave. And I know somebody said, you just now finding out? Yeah. I come from the old school. We cooked oatmeal. 5 minutes. So we living in the microwave generation. So we want everything right now, but for 120 years, Noah preached it's going to rain. Because of the sticky neck out kind of faith, Israel marched around Jericho's wall 7 days because they believed God. The impossible became possible because they believed God. I want you to know that your impossible is possible with God through faith. Through faith. You have to believe. You got to believe. The Holy Ghost comes through faith. Through faith. Because of this kind of sticky neck out faith, the servants filled the pots, water pots, because they believed Jesus would supply the needed wine. Mary said, do as he say. His mother went to him and told him, they are the wine. So Jesus wanted to know, well, what do they have to do with me? But because his mama said, uh, That's what it had to do with him. His mama said. Can you imagine how we would react? All right, well, go ahead, fill up the bottle, fill up the pots. Mama always making me do stuff. Always telling me somebody else's problems. Expect me to solve it. Well, I got to solve everything. No, but that's not his attitude. He told him, go ahead, fill it up. And he didn't make no cheap wine. Now, he could have made some good wine and he could have made some bad wine. Or he could have made some wine in between. It was his choice. But because he's God, he do everything right. Do everything good. He had a good choice of wine. Folk were drunk and knew that they had choice wine. Now, let me just clear this up right now. This is not a license to go get drunk. This is not a license to go get some wine. No Code 45. No slits. None of that. I'm just giving you an example. Because of this kind of sticking neck out kind of faith, the blind man was asked to go wash and the leper was asked to go see the priest. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith. By faith. So whatever you need or whatever you want from God, you have to have faith. You want to see your loved one delivered, you got to have faith. You have to stand on the word and believe God and keep on praying that God is going to do it. I know somebody tells you all you have to do is ask once, but I'm here to dispute that. I'm going to ask and ask until God do it. I'm going to be like that little woman. I'm going to keep going to the king. I'm going to get on his nerves. I'm going to say, Lord, don't you remember what I prayed this morning? Same thing. I need you to help my loved one. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Stay in faith. No matter what the storm looked like, remember that you're hid in Christ Jesus. By faith, the storm will not harm me. I'm going to stay put and give God praises inside of my storm. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. Do you know that when we start walking with God, we don't all the time feel that God is with us every day? Have anybody ever got up and didn't feel God's presence that day or that at that moment? Y'all looking at me. What you mean? I always feel God. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's some time I don't feel him. But I know he's there. He's still there, even though I'm not feeling him. Now, if I transition into a praise mode, or worship mode, then I enter into his presence and I feel his presence. But just to wake up in the morning, I get up, I say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. I say my prayers from faith, believing that God is going to be there and hears me. Now listen to this. There were people that made images and they prayed to their image. They had a statue. They had something that they had made with their hands, and they placed it and they prayed to that. But here was a man by the name of Abram. He believed that God was not in the visible thing. He believed that God was invisible. So he kneeled beside the hillside and prayed to the air. And God heard it. Call him his friend. Can you imagine that? Now, I'm giving all of my allegiance to this statue, but God didn't hear me. God didn't call me his friend. But when I prayed openly, believing that he could hear me, and he would hear me, and he would deliver me, through faith, God said, you're my friend. Then he tells him to go by faith. See, this is by faith. He tells him to leave your kinsmen. Leave the people that you grew up around and all of their idols. leave them behind and go to a land that I will show you. And Abram went. And then along the way, God stopped him and said, hold up. I'm going to do a couple things. One, I'm going to change your name. We talked about name change on Friday. When your circumstance changes, when you get in another position, God gives you a new name. He had to change Jacob's name because Jacob was a trickster. But he got tricked real bad by his uncle. We'll say that one for another day. He got tricked real bad when he thought on his wedding night, when he thought he had this one person. Can you brothers, can you imagine waking up and you thought that your wife that you had worked for 7 years, and you wake up and the light is on. As Goma Powell would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Faith. So we have to have faith. Whatever God is going to do for us is going to be because of our faith. If we don't have any faith, we might as well give up now. Because without faith, it's impossible. Impossible to please him. All right? So faith works. So now, what's the second step? Once we have faith and believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do and that he's able to do what he said he's going to do, then we have to repent. Now, I know I talk about this all the time, but I want to go a little deeper into repentance. The first step to be taken in the process of the new birth is repentance. Repentance is brought about by godly sorrow over our sins. It is an honest confession of those sins to God and a resolute turning away from them, an absolute turning away from the sin. Some people turn away from sin because if they drink, because they're drunk, they got a hangover. I ain't going to do that no more. I'm sorry I did that. No, it's got to be deeper than that. Someone puts it like this. It's being so sorry for our sins that we decide to quit them and never do them again. Never do it again. The promise of God is if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's found in 1 John 1 and 9. Did you notice the word faithful and just? Faithful and just. God has bound himself under a promise that he will forgive all who confess their sins. He promised that. Now we serve a God that do not go back on his word. His word is yea and amen. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So he says, if you will confess your sins, I will forgive them. Now, we was told growing up, because I grew up a Catholic, we was told you go to the confession on Saturday, 6 o'clock, from 6 to 8, you go to confession, and you tell the priest your sins, and the priest would pray, and your sins be forgiven. And they would give you what they call a penance. And a penance was prayers that you had to pray. If it wasn't such a bad sin, you can get away with a couple of Hail Marys. If you was jacked up like I was, they'd give you the whole rosary. And here's the thing. You couldn't do your penance when you got home. You had to stay at church and do it. So if they told you, the priest said, well, you need to say the rosary and five Our Fathers. So now here you come out, you got the rosary. Everybody see you got the rosary. He really messed up. No. But we have to confess our sins. We have to acknowledge them. And if we acknowledge them, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. Paul added his own assurance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want you to get that in your spirit. He came into the world to save sinners. No sinner has ever come to Jesus and been turned away. If I had been the only sinner on the earth, he would have died for me because of the love that he has for me. It becomes very personal. If he loved us enough to die for us, you know he loves us enough to forgive us when we ask him. If he loved us enough to die for us, then he loves us enough to forgive us of our sins if we ask. It is good that we get down on our knees and confess to God all of our sins. Each of them is trouble enough in character to send our soul to hell. Each one is bad enough. Each of them are hideous crimes against a pure and holy God. With utmost honesty and sincerity, we should confess these sins to God and humbly implore him to forgive us of our sins and help us to never do them again. This confession puts everything in open between us and God and demonstrates that we are acting in good faith. Now, let me say something. Forgiveness of sin is not the only thing pertaining to salvation. Some people feel like, I had an attitude with somebody, with many people. Maybe not all at the same time, but many people. And have you ever had an attitude and the air is stuffy because you ain't speaking? This should be your time. Yeah. The attitude is, I ain't speaking. I'm angry, whether it's your spouse or your children, or whether it's somebody at church on your job. You just got an attitude. You're not talking. Sin causes God's face to turn toward us. So we don't have open communication. When you're mad with somebody, you say as little as you possibly can, and hopefully you don't have to say nothing. Now, yeah, thank you, Tona. But when you come together and you clear the air, isn't it a relief? The air is cleared. You feel better. All of that weight is off of your shoulder. That's the same way it feels when you come to God and you confess your sins. You clear the air. But you're still not saved, because all that does is make it where you can communicate with him. Prior to that, you could not communicate because sin pushes him back, makes him turn his face. I know. Pastor, you don't know everything. Sometimes I got a right to be angry. You just don't know. Well, we all have what we think a right to be angry. The Bible tells us to anger but sin not. And that's a lot of times where we get stuck. I'm angry, but I ain't sinning. Now, let me tell y'all something. If you stay angry long enough and let that thing fester, you're going to say some things. You're going to think some things. And it ain't going to be holy. So the Bible tells us, as we mature, cease from anger. Let's walk in forgiveness. You know what? I know sometimes, and we tell you, I tell you all the time, you got to pray for those who despitefully use you, who talk about you. Pray for them. If they mistreat you, pray for them. And I heard people tell me, I ain't praying for them. I'm going to hit them. So I say, since you got to slap them with prayer. But don't put your hands on them. Because that's how Jesus did us. That's how he did us. Suppose he would beat us down every time we offend him. What if he did that? Somebody would have got beat down this morning. Yeah, they would have got beat down this morning. Because we offended him. So repentance, we have to repent. When we open up communication with the Lord, when we're able to talk to him, and then we tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've done. And then we have a change of attitude. See, you can't change your walk until you change your attitude toward the sin. Is that right? You got to change your attitude. If you want to change your destiny, change your attitude. If you want to change your situation, change your attitude. Now, let me tell you something about this tongue that we have. We can either bless a situation or we can curse it by the words that we say. What are you saying? Sometimes we make a fire enlarge by keep putting fuel on it. We keep pulling timber on it. You know why? You know how we do that? Because we keep talking about it and talking about it, and we build it up. And the more we talk about it, the more we build it up. If it's no more than in our mind, we're building it up till it becomes a bonfire. It was a campfire at first. Now we got whole California on fire. Because we keep talking about it. Instead of talking about it, pray about it. Tell God about it, and God will fix it because of the faith that you have in him. You trusted in him. Lean back and rest in him and say, Lord, I know you got this. Repentance also means to die from. So what the things that we repent of, then we die to. We die from. We don't continue to do it. That's why Paul asked in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If we die from it, then we don't continue in it. Repentance. The third step, or the fourth step, would be baptism. I know people say it don't matter how you get baptized. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to dispute it. I'm just going to say, I just take the Bible way. I just take the Bible way. The Bible way says in Acts 2 and 38, to be baptized, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what that's saying. So rather than get into an argument of doctrine or argument of who's going to hell or who's going to heaven, I just say, just do it like the Bible says. That was the instruction they gave at the beginning of the church in the New Testament. Just stick to that. It's kind of simple, ain't it? Just stick to that. So what is he really saying? So when we look into the Word of God and we look into Romans chapter 5 in the last 5 or 6 verses, it carries over to chapter 6. He talks about the old man being crucified with him. See, now, the baptism represents the burial. But you can't bury something that's still alive. We're supposed to be burying the old man because we have repented. So the old man died, so we're burying him through baptism. So now when we look into the water, we can't see but the candidate and the minister or the deacon that's baptizing, but there's also God in the water too, just like he was with in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's still there, helping us out when we get into fiery situations. He's there to keep us. But he's there in the water too, because we are likened unto him in the water. We died, so we have to have the death, burial, and resurrection. So we die through repentance. We're buried through baptism. It's necessary. But that's not the end of the story. Sometimes people get baptized, they haven't repented. If you haven't repented when you get baptized, nothing happens. You just get wet. Now, those old mothers used to tell me when I was growing up, see, some of y'all couldn't have stood sanctification back then because they was rough. You could be out there shouting, thinking you're doing a good God, doing a good job, music high, you shouting, you done shouted, you done sweated, and the mother come to you and tell you to sit down, you in your flesh, just sit down. Wouldn't they do it? Wouldn't crack a smile. And you know what you did? You sit down. So what they would say is that you went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. Because you haven't repented. Repentance have to occur. Faith, repentance. You have to believe on the word and you have to repent. So after you repent, you go down in Jesus' name for the remission or the removal of your sin. Now, back in the time of the tabernacle, they had a covering for their sin. The sin was still there, but it wasn't, God didn't look on it, but it was still there. It was like that lump in the rug. Push the sin under there and cover it up. The high priest would come, sprinkle blood on the people, sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. He had to make sure he was right. Because if he wasn't right, he wasn't coming out. But after the baptism, God promised that he would fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God in us. It's the Spirit of God in us. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the Spirit of God in us. God dwells in us. The scripture tells us that God walks with us, but there will come a time that he won't be with us, but he shall be in us. We have to have him inside of us. Then he leads and guides us into all truth. He leads us. The Holy Ghost will lead you. You get to a point that you prefer to spend time with Jesus than watch an Ohio State football game, Brother Larry. Brother Larry is my friend. Yeah, you want to hear more about him. You want to understand about him a little more. And then you start to imitate him because it feels natural to imitate him, to be like him, to say those things that he say. How would you feel if somebody would just call you up here and say, Sister Jada, come up here, and they lay hands on you and say, from now on, you can do miracles. Whatever you put your hands to in faith, it will come to pass. How would you feel? Feel good, wouldn't you? A couple of people you lay your hands on right away, right? That's right. Go right to them. Oh, yeah, I've been waiting on this. Yeah. But he said you should have power. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. If I ask in faith, believing that God is going to do it, and I'm in his right fellowship and standing with him, because I am a part of him and he's a part of me. I'm in him and he's in me, or his word, and his word is him. He's in me, I'm in him, I walk in him. I'm not walking after my flesh, but I'm walking according to the Spirit. I hear. Don't you remember Ananias? Paul, his name was Saul at the time, because he was a bad fella. God hadn't did his work on him yet and hadn't changed his name, so he was still considered Saul. And so when Saul was blind on his way to Damascus, God called Ananias to go pray for him. Ananias said, Ain't this the same one, Lord, that caused havoc in the church? Ain't this the same one that have a letter from the high priest bringing them back bound to Jerusalem, all that call on the name of Jesus? Is this not the same one? Then why am I going? Have y'all ever had a talk with Jesus? Why am I going to pray for him? And the Lord said, he prayeth now. He prayeth. I have chosen him. He's praying. But my point is, Ananias was in a place that he could hear him. He could hear him. Now, he wasn't just walking around, speak to me, Lord. No, he wasn't doing that. He was about his daily occupation, but he heard the voice of the Lord. That's the way we have to be. We have to be so in tune that we can do whatever we're doing for the Lord, doing our daily occupation, and still hear God when he speaks to us. And notice what he said. He said, yea, Lord. It was like they was buddies. Ananias, yea, Lord. I want you to go and pray for him. It comes a time that the church has to demonstrate the power that it has. You have hidden abilities that the Holy Ghost will bring out. You know what? Your purpose, the Holy Ghost will bring out. You're not feeling fulfilled because you're not doing what you were designed to do. You still think you're a Volkswagen. No. A Yugo. Yeah, a Yugo. I was talking to a lady one time, and she said, yeah, I bought this Yugo, and I was trying to get it up the hill, and it wouldn't do but 30. And her mother said, turned around to her right then and said, well, it said it was a you go. It didn't say how fast you go. No, you still think you're a you go. You still think that you can put along. And God has designed you for greater speed, greater works. You have quality parts on the inside. God is just waiting on you to line up, get connected with him so he can fire you up. He's waiting. So somebody said, I'm waiting on God. God said, you ain't waiting on me. Because when I designed you, you was ready. I was ready to use you then. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it's time that we recognize that we are welded together with him. When I see you, I ought to see God. Let me say that again. When I see you, I ought to see God. But I don't think God is saying any bad words. Or I don't think God has an attitude. I don't think God is in cliques. I oftentimes say about Grace Room Covenant Worship Center, we are a clique. We're too small to have cliques. We are a clique. All of us put together might equal a click. No. See, as long as the enemy can divide us, we'll never reach our potential of reaching the lost. That's what we should be focused on, reaching the lost. How would you like, Sister Toria? You knock on the door. You're on the witness team. You're praying for folk out in the neighborhood. You knock on the door and you ask the person, can I pray with you? And they say, yeah. And then you, the enemy will come and tell you, well, you ain't got no business praying for nobody. No, because that's what he'll say. I don't care where you at. You can be a bishop, archbishop, or the pope. Don't matter. He's going to tell you, you ain't worthy to do that. But you do it anyway because you're doing it in faith. It's not you that's doing it, but you're doing it because of the Holy Ghost that's in you and he hears you. And you have faith in what God is telling you to do. And remember this. Remember this. A lot of times we say, well, I didn't tell nobody about Jesus because I don't know enough. But as little as you know, somebody else knows less. If they would say, they say, oh man, Brother Ray passed by and he started telling me about the Lord, and Brother Ray don't think he know much, but he started telling somebody about the Lord, and then the Holy Ghost takes over and he starts speaking those things, and that person, when you leave, he said, oh, didn't our hearts burn when Brother Ray got through talking to us as he was speaking to us, and Brother Ray going on and said, Lord, he going on talking about, Lord, I hope I said something that'll help him. And yeah. God want to use us. God want to use you. You have destiny. But you need to do it the right way. You need to have faith in God. You have to recognize your undone condition. I was undone. It's only by the righteousness of God. Now, let me say that. God exchanged our sinfulness and gives us his righteousness. No longer. Now, look. Now, he wrote the law. He gave the law. He gave the law. For the wages of sin is death. Is that right? Is that the word? The soul that sinneth it shall die. Is that the word? That's what he said. He could not go back on his word for us for being sinners. The wages or the payment for sin is death. So somebody had to die. Somebody had to pay that payment for sin. So now he takes on the punishment that we deserve. He takes on that punishment. We deserve it. He did nothing. He's God in flesh. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14, John 1 says, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. So he died for us in our stead. His Word had to be fulfilled. And he said, Lord, he said, I'll fulfill it. I love you enough that I'll die in your stead. Anybody have children in here? No, not the children. Let me go a little deeper. Anybody have grandchildren? Come on, raise your hand. You got grandchildren. How many love their grandchildren? Okay, you can put your hand down. I have another question. You don't have to put your hand up. How many love your grandchildren more than you love your children? I turned my back so I wouldn't see it. And we love them grandchildren. We learn how to handle our grandchildren from experimenting on our children. Poor children. Y'all know we experimented. We didn't know what we was doing. Then when the grandchildren come, then we let the grandchildren get away with murder. The children come and say, you ain't going to say nothing? Oh, leave them alone. They're all right. Well, Mama, I would have got killed for that. Uh-huh. But this is my granddaughter. Yeah. Our children, we are willing to give our life for. We're willing to lay down our life that they can live. That's how God loved us so much, and he was willing to lay down his life that we can live in righteousness unto him, and that we had a right to the tree of life. We had a right to go to heaven. It's important to me that I'm saved. No matter what going on, stuff is stuff. A house is a house. I'm going to live in it for so long. It's going to stand for so long. And then a bulldozer is going to bust it down. And it'd be a lot where I used to live. So it's not in possessions. It's not in stuff. It's in a relationship with Jesus. How is your relationship with the Maker? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? That's the question that I want you to leave with. Is it well with my soul? Is it? Do I have aught? How is my relationship with the Lord? Can I talk to him? You know, when you're not in right standing with God, before you pray, you got to repent. Lord, I did this, I did that. I did this, I did that. Now, Father, I'm sorry for that. So now would you do this for me? No, it's far better. It's far better to be in good standing. Do like Hezekiah. He turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And he reminded the Lord of how he was before he got sick. So if you're here today and you're saying in your heart, I really want to be saved. You might even say, I want to be saved so Pastor Fly can stop talking about it. I'm going to tell y'all the story, then we're going to get on out the way. I was assistant pastor at another church, and my job was to make the altar appeal. Pastor would preach, and I would make the altar appeal every Sunday. And this one Sunday, the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy in there, I was making the altar appeal. And this young lady, she comes strutting down the aisle, and we prayed for her. She fell out on the floor. Started speaking in tongues, Lord filled with the Holy Ghost. She's still saved. And she told me when she got up, she said, I didn't come up to get saved. I came up so you could shut up. Yeah, she said, I just came up so you could be quiet, so you could shut up. I said, but what happened? She said, I got the Holy Ghost. See, I don't care why you come. I care how you leave. I care how you leave. I'm an adopted member of their family because of what happened on that great day. We need the Holy Ghost, church. You need it. You need it. Wouldn't it be a shame that we come to church every Sunday, sit here, and listen to me, and leave here, and your soul be lost? What about acting upon the word? I come to church every Sunday. I sit and listen. I time you. By the way, you only have a few minutes left. I'm just saying. I was just using that for an example. I didn't expect nobody to turn around and look back. I didn't expect anyone to look on your arm to see how much time I really had. That was just an example. It just let me know, Sister Tammy, I was in the ballpark. No. Get saved. Become profitable to the Lord. And then he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. So listen to the older saints. I know sometimes we say dad instead of that, this instead of this. I know we mess it up. And don't tell us your children's names because we would definitely mess it up. You shouldn't even be surprised. You knew we was going to mess it up when you named them. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. What's your name? Klingalingaling. So Sister Mariah just said, come here, honey. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get saved. Let's get saved.